Before we begin with practices for today, are there any questions or comments about either anything that happened yesterday, this morning, or in your life? Yeah.
My man is getting drunk and I'm worried about it.
Well, I don't know how much of this to go into, but have you read Wild Nights? One of the books right there. The reason people get confused about the way to live their lives is almost always because they're confusing, in my jargon, the first, second, and third stage. They're basically confusing developmental levels in themselves and in the people that they're with. And every developmental level, whether some theorists or clinicians have, 30, I just use 3 to make it easy, it doesn't really matter. But every level has its truths and its pathologies. Every level has its gifts and its potential problems. And they change as you grow from level to level. So in 1 minute, I think the situation will be clear for you. You'll still have to decide how to act, but the situation, your heart will be clear. Your capacity to love will be clear, which is what's important. One of my teachers, who I call Mykonos and wrote about extensively in Wild Nights, when he met me, I had for about 20 years practiced 3 to 5 hours of meditation and yoga and Tai Chi and all kinds of practices every day without ever missing a day. I was a vegan for most of those years, although by the time I met him, I was eating some cheese and occasional fish. When I met him, I recognized that he was a lot more open than I was, that his capacity to love was greater than mine. And I'm sitting up here teaching mostly because my friends and teachers have told me to, but I'm a much better student than a teacher. So when I find somebody who's superior in their openness to me, it doesn't take me long to know, I have a lot to learn from this person. So that's how I felt about him. One of the first things he did was get me absolutely shit-faced drunk and feed me steak, which went on for years. Now, I had been so pure for so long and could maintain such like clarity of meditation in my room of silence and, that even a few beers at that time I would start spinning, but to him, that wasn't even... there's anything I say, you would think I was exaggerating, and nothing I say could exaggerate. I mean, we're talking about, he'd say, like, get some sake or something, and I'd get like a bottle of sake or something. He was talking about gallons, like maybe 5 gallons of sake to be consumed over maybe an hour or two period. Anyways, he would have me drink, and at first he was gentle enough for me. I mean, at first meaning like a few minutes. So I would drink a little, and I'd start spinning, and he'd lean forward, and he'd say, like, the mother's got you, huh? And I'd go, huh? He'd go, suck her down, breathe her down. She's playing with you. You can't breathe her. You can't fuck the mother. What are you going to do, be a little boy all your life? And I'd be going, like, what's he talking about? So he taught me how to breathe so that I'd stop spinning. And then he'd maintain my presence and attention, and the minute I wander, he'd be back. He'd be saying, are you feeling God now? Are you feeling God now? Are you breathing God? Are you breathing God down into your genitals? Are you giving everything you've got? I'd be, and he'd call me back and teach me practices to stay open and recognize everything as God in the midst of that and offer my deepest gift. And then, of course, as soon as I could do that, have another drink. Now, in all honesty, this took place with a number of other people, and often most of the people would have been vomited and passed out way before the night even started for him. And so we would go way into the night and the next day drinking copious amounts and maintaining practice in the midst of it. And all I could just tell you that these days, traveling, internationally and not eating well and not sleeping and being jet lagged is pretty damn easy to practice with after spending years so fucked up on alcohol and practicing in the midst of it on total integrity, like life or death situations. I learned a lot. And one of the things I learned is that there's no excuse for lack of practice. None. It doesn't matter how tired you are. Like we were talking with the woman about sex yesterday. It doesn't matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter how sick you are. I've taught, well, with 107 degree fever and flu and, but I would never have been able to had he not taught me that purity is for wimps. And that there's something, basically healthy about having a relatively healthy lifestyle. I still do hours of yoga every day and I eat a diet that I feel is best for me. But drinking is not the problem. The problem is lack of practice. What would happen if he drank and became totally impeccable, loving, clear, absolutely responsible?
Well, he basically is, but this could go in a direction that would be bad.
Well, yeah. If it goes in that direction, then you need to intervene.
Well, he even said to me, I know this is wrong.
Well, that's both of your second stage thing. If it's affecting his capacity to give love, to take care of his children, to drive, to be with you, to do his business, if it's affecting his capacity to do that in a negative way, it's a problem and it needs to be dealt with as a problem. You need to have intervention. You know, AA is a great service for that kind of thing. But
how do you make the distinction?
Well, we just made it. I'll make it again for you. The way to tell is if anything inhibits your capacity to give your gift or collapses your love, you need to practice with it. Anything. If your job does that, you need to change your job. If your husband or wife does that, you need to change your husband and wife or have them change so you could practice with them. If your diet negatively affects you, you need to change your diet. If alcohol, drugs, sex, if any of that contracts you, closes you down, makes you less able to give your gift, then it's a problem and it needs to be intervened with. Absolutely. And most people can't practice when they're totally sober, straight, healthy, eating well. Just look around you, see how long. After 5 hours of practice in one day, people are like, I can hardly take it. So I would say you need to feel, like you said, if he's with his children and the alcohol is affecting his capacity to serve and love his children, that's a problem. And he shouldn't be drinking. He needs to be intervened with. If his alcohol use affects his chosen profession or his capacity to share love with you, it's a real problem and it needs to be intervened with. If it doesn't negatively affect those things, then it's no different than you needing to wear glasses. That's a crutch, isn't it? Big fucking deal. You wear glasses. Now you could see. He might need to drink in order to love. The question is, does wearing glasses serve your capacity to serve others? Probably, or you bump into them or whatever. I wear contacts myself, if I didn't wear them. So I have all kinds of crutches that I use. You do too. We all have bodily patterns that require compensations, like glasses or whatever. Well, some people have biochemical imbalances, you could call them, that require drugs of different kinds, alcohol, tobacco, maybe even pharmaceuticals, antidepressants or, I don't know, some of the best poetry and plays and art in the world have been produced on opium and alcohol. If there was no opium, alcohol, or tobacco in the world, there'd probably be very little art. How much music of the last 30 years in America has been done on marijuana, at least, if not LSD? So the use of drugs as well as everything else is very different at the third stage than the second stage and the first stage. In the first stage, by definition, you're using it because you're weak. You need support to even function. It's a dependency in the sense of you're nothing without it. In the second stage, we have an ideal of equilibrium and wholeness and balance and health and integrity that often limits the depth of our gift. In the third stage, you just feel what allows me to magnify my gift for everybody. And more than you feeling it as an individual for yourself, what's important is what your friends and others feel. If the 10 closest people in your life go, you know what? When you drink, you serve people more than you drink. If your 10 friends go, you know what? When you drink, you become an ignorant, sleepy slob who's useless. Then you stop drinking. And so, I don't know your partner, but if you want to, again, what I'm doing is dealing with the 0.1% of the population that is ready for the third stage, and that percent of the population, you have to feel what serves your capacity to give your gift, and especially ask your friends, and you need to do the same with your partner. From what you've described so far, it sounds like he functions fine. But if that changes, I would immediately intervene in some way. Well, there's nothing you could do. He has to be part of something like Alcoholics Anonymous or something. I mean, there's not, when you're addicted to a substance, you need an incredible amount of social support and people checking in on you. And you don't want your intimate partner doing that. You don't want to turn your intimacy into a therapeutic relationship.
So how do I know to bring out my Kali energy to deal with something unacceptable to me?
If you have to ask, you can't do it. Well, you're in the second stage moment right now, and if you're in this moment with him, nothing you say will do anything but aggravate him. And so Kali is a spontaneous expression in instantaneous response to his lack of integrity. Not only is there no way to figure it out beforehand, often afterwards you go, what the hell did I just say? It's a spontaneous love response. Like I was saying yesterday, your kid's drinking poison and you just grab him. Well, your man's out of integrity. And in that moment, you yell, you say something, you do whatever you do, but it's a spontaneous love response because you love him so much. Now, obviously that wouldn't be evoked if he's drunk and acting in total integrity. What are you going to do? You're in total integrity, damn it! So, I don't know, it sounds like you're making a problem where at the moment there isn't one, unless you haven't described something that really is a problem. The thing to do, though, is if he's... Let me reverse it on you for a moment to feel another option. What would have happened if when he's drunk, say, he gets on the phone and does a conference call, did you say, or something, and he does it really well, and he hangs up, and you get on your knees, and you worship him, and you say, I can't believe it. You are totally drunk and you had total integrity in this moment. I worship that integrity. And then he turns to you in absolute presence, let's say, and he's really present with you, genuinely. And you just say, God, my heart is so touched with your presence. I love you. If you took that approach of giving your worship to the part of him that deserves worship, that's necessary if you're going to give the Kali to the part that doesn't deserve worship. They go together. And until you're doing both, you're in the second stage with him.
Well, that's kind of what happened.
Well, that's not what happened, because you're giving us all of your blah, blah, blah that's irrelevant and old. And if that's really what happened, you wouldn't have left with any residue at all. And in a third stage moment, there's no residue. All you're talking about is residue. Now, honor that you're in a second stage moment. This was a second stage interaction. You have ideas of what health is. He's violating those ideas. They concern you, and you're sharing them with us. That's fine, but that's not what we're here to do. We're here to learn how to worship consciousness and radiance, evoke it in each other, and tolerate nothing less than our deepest love, not entertain residual stories of drama, which has its time and place. It's just not now. I don't think. I mean, does anybody want to do that? Raise your hand. Okay. Because if I was the only one feeling that way, I'd do nothing. So.
If you are starting a new relationship, does it make sense to wait a little while before it actually becomes a third stage relationship?
Yeah, I would. Tell me if this is what you're asking. There comes a certain point where you both make a third stage commitment to each other, and at that point, you basically take full responsibility for opening her spiritually and sexually no matter what she says, and she takes full responsibility for responding to you in any way she does no matter what you say. So she breaks your computer because you're being an asshole. You bought into that. You agreed. You know, before that commitment is the dating, courting, feeling each other out time to see, do you trust each other that much to make that commitment? So it's a yeah, there needs to be a period of time. I don't know how long that is, though. Maybe 6 months or a year or 1 week. I don't know how long it would take you. So you go, I trust this woman's heart more than mine to reflect to me when I'm off. And she feels, I trust your heart more than mine to guide my spiritual and sexual openness deeper than I could. And when both of you are certain enough of that, I mean, it's never 100%, we're all fallible, but when you're certain she's better than you, and she's certain you're better than her, at that moment you could say, I would like to make a commitment with you that we serve each other for the rest of our lives doing this until we are no longer able to serve each other. And that's the only time that commitment is over. The commitment's not actually over. It's just clear you can't serve each other for some reason. Maybe one of you grows tremendously, the other doesn't. Maybe it just turns out that you're both better off with other people. Maybe you're together for the rest of your lives. But that commitment is to serve each other for the rest of your lives until you simply cannot serve each other. And that decision, again, is best made by your friends. Because men, the masculine partner will always want to get out too soon, and the feminine partner will always want to cling too long in general. And so it's good to have the outside friends going, you haven't given this enough time, or you've given it too much time, and it's time to move on. And then do what both, you know, like your 10 closest friends of both of you say, even if they're new friends that have just met both of you, that's fine. Yeah.
I noticed that when we did the dancing exercise, I became very ecstatic. But I was so overwhelmed by my own internal sensations that I lost the heart connection with everyone else. And the same thing happens to me during sex.
Well, that's what we've been practicing. So, for instance, I have you standing in these weird positions and you're shaking and feeling all of these things. Can you stay connected with your partner's heart in that? If you can, then that gives you the edge during moments of sex when your body is shaking and so forth. So all the practices that we've been doing are practices that you now need to continue for decades, so that no matter what comes up in you, you're able to feel into your partner. Which is only the first stage. The next stage is to feel to infinity, regardless of what's coming up in you and your partner. So you feel like crap, your partner feels like crap, you're yelling at each other, and you're feeling to infinity. Doesn't matter if you argue, if you kiss, if you make love, it's pretty much irrelevant. And then you just exist in a wide open place, and you play that how you will. But until then, all kinds of things will trap you. Your own pleasure, your own pain. The only thing to do is to continue practice feeling the other person's heart until you're stable at that, which will take years of practice. Feel into the heart of whoever you're with. And when you get good at that, feel into everyone's heart. When you get good at that, feel through everyone's heart, living and dead. And when you get good at that, feel absolute, endless, the miracle of the moment. I mean, this is a bizarre moment if you feel it. Something amazing is happening. This. I mean, it's just like, whoa, just springing into being. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's divine, as a matter of fact. This is a divine vision right now. You could be dead right now. This could be an after-death vision. You know? Like those dreams you have that seem so real, and then you wake up from them and you go, oh, it's just a dream. Well, this is just like that. And there's no way ultimately to know anything, really. This is happening. That's all we know for now. Yeah? Well, how close do you want to be in the midst of this happening? It's up to you. All I'm saying is, why not be absolutely open in the midst of what's happening? Why not play this as total love? Do you have a better way? Would you rather be... I mean, you could. Well, you would in moments, obviously. For instance, when you're dancing, if I understand you, you're saying there's a tendency to stay in your own sensations and to not feel the other. So in those moments, one way of saying that, although it's not conscious, is that you'd rather feel your own sensation than the other person. Because it's just as easy to feel the other person. You just have to choose to. It's a habit, exactly. It's a habit. That's all it is. And what practice is counteracting old habits so that now you're open as a habit. Everything you're doing is already a form of practice. You're practicing thinking. You're practicing closing. You're practicing feeling your own sensations during sex and while dancing. All we're doing here is counteracting those habits, for instance, by feeling your partner's heart while we're doing all of these things. Dancing, moving, breathing, shaking. So it's that practice of counteracting the habit of closure that allows you to be the openness that this moment is. You are that already. It's just we have habits to the contrary that we have to counteract, or else we just stay in the habit. But it's good to understand the reason you have the habit, and your basic reason is, for whatever caused it. Again, if you could do therapy with it and stuff if you feel that's necessary, but you're basically afraid of being a sexual being. And imagine if you just treated every moment like you were having sex with it. Like this moment right now, imagine it's entering your vagina right now. Can you feel that at all? Okay. Is this how you look when you're having sex? It'd be pretty boring. Okay, well, obviously you're not feeling it then. So really relax into it and feel yourself being fucked by this moment. Like it's caressing your skin, you know, it's kissing your breast and gently touching the inside of your thighs and entering you and entering your heart and feeling the deepest parts of your heart. And now what happens to your body if you allow this moment to take you? Can you feel it a little bit? But that's just a tiny bit. You're going, I mean, if I was having sex with you and that was your response, I'd just read the newspaper. It'd be more exciting than me. So we'll be even more sexual. On a scale of 0 to 10, you're at about 0.000001 in terms of just what I've seen in women sexually sitting across the room, and I say, feel someone fuck you, and they go, you know, and you're going, yeah, I feel it. So, I mean, allow yourself to really open. You don't have to. You can stay closed. You can be as uncomfortable, closed down, tense as you want to be. But why? Why would you want to? Why not allow yourself to fuck this moment as if it were the perfect lover? To receive God, if you will, as a lover. Just receive the divine into your body sexually. So that a man is just a human form of that who happens to fit you anatomically, but when he's not around, you're still being taken open by the divine. That's how to live, I think. I mean, why live less than that? Can you feel how that'd be a little different than how you tend to be? So why do you choose anything else? In this moment, why are you choosing less than... Yeah, it feels... We're ashamed of ecstasy. We're ashamed of sex. I mean, there's all kinds of good reasons. I mean, social reasons, cultural reasons, the way our parents treated us, self-image. But all of that, if you're going to live in the third stage, you need to practice through. You need to breathe sex, feel it. And by sex, I don't mean, you know, oinking, genital, grunt stuff. Although that's fine occasionally, especially for you. I'm just kidding. But I like to pick on my friends. But I'm talking about the sex that is this moment that we talked about yesterday, the consciousness and light that is this moment. I mean, you are being taken right now by consciousness. If you allow yourself to, is God absent in this moment? Is the divine absent right now? Isn't the divine taking you right now? Do you think some oinking, dorky man can open you more than infinity? I mean, the best he could do is use his little flesh body to push you open and force you to experience the ecstasy that you can experience right now. So do everything you have to do. Do up your hair, go out to dinner, play your little games to get this guy to put it in you in a way so you open. That's one option. The other option... The other option is just to be fucked open now by the divine. And when a man feels that in you now... Then you attract a man who's fucking this moment open as the divine. Any other man would be terrified. And he would just walk into you and say, not literally say, but essentially the attitude would be, I see you're being fucked open by the divine. I think we could do this together, perhaps even better than we could do it apart. Instead of some guy, you know, like, hi. Would you like a drink?
But how will I know if I'm in a place where other people will be in the right space for that?
You just have to take the risk and make it, use your discrimination. I mean, there's obviously some places you would never do that. I mean... But there are other places, like this room, for instance. Not everyone's in the third stage in this room, right? But it's a fairly safe environment. If someone actually has tried to do something, there's enough people here that nothing serious would happen, right? So it's really, there is no excuse in this room. And there's probably no excuse alone in your room at home. There's probably no excuse with your loved one. There's probably no excuse with your children, if you have them, to be that open. So there's probably no excuse a good part of the day when you're with friends, when you're with your lover, when you're with your family. In social situations in our world today, like I was saying the other night, it's good to be invisible and not really put that out too much, because there's a lot of oinkers. You know, there's a lot of first stage people who will try to take advantage of you, which is just unpleasant. Although there are people, you know, like Jesus Christ, he said, to hell with it, let those first stage people kill me if they want, and they did. So you could play it that way. I'm not that courageous myself. So, you know, I usually only share it with people who only want to crucify me. I won't carry it out. So, but there are people more courageous who would share that openness with everybody and then pay the price. I don't know where you are on that spectrum of courage. You're afraid to even show us a little bit of sexual pleasure in this room, so I'd say you have a little bit more to grow in, at least in this room. But who knows, eventually you might be people, the paparazzi's following around taking photos of the woman who walks in ecstasy. And you have this huge following. You know, there are people like that. You know, like, I don't know, Amaji. How many people here know Amaji, the Indian saint? I mean, she goes around, she's basically in ecstasy a lot of the time. A lot of the time, I mean, if you know her well, you know she beats people, throws things at people, yells at them in private, her closest students. She's really hard on. But in public, she's hugging everyone. And for 8, 10, 12 hours at a time, thousands of people relentlessly hugging them, just giving them love, and people just follow her around and receive her love. Well, you could be that way if you want to be. You know, have some people around protecting you from the goons. They do that. When they feel how vulnerable and open you are, you would immediately attract people who protected you. But if they feel you kind of protecting yourself, they're unnecessary. She's a good example, perhaps, of somebody who's being fucked open by God on a fairly regular basis. I mean, look at her face. In general, you know, I don't know what she's like when she's off on her own, say, but in general, she's looks a lot happier than most women having sex, actually. So I would say she's allowing herself to be taken open, to be a servant of God, to be given, to give herself fully, as one would sexually, but through her whole body, to everybody. You know, she's chosen a non-sexual way, but her response is as if it were sexual. It's a total giving of herself. I'm just using her as an example. I don't know her personally, but in America especially, but Europe also, there's a kind of McDonald's consciousness when it comes to spiritual growth. And as long as it doesn't take practice, and as long as it doesn't involve unpleasantness, people love it. But it's a very rare person who's done enough practice in previous lifetimes or is born with just the right karmic constellation that they need no practice or a minimal amount of practice. And you would know, because you would be wide open all of the time now. If you're not, you will still have glimpses that your true nature is wide openness, but then you need to practice in those moments when you're fighting against your true nature, and then you're effortlessly open. That practice, in general, takes decades. It varies from person to person. But in general, it's decades, if not lifetimes, of practice. It's why there's only 0.1% of the population even willing to consider this kind of practice. Most people, how many people do you know spend 6 hours a day or more trying to earn money? And where does that get them?
In debt.
In debt. They do that not because it makes them happy. They do that because they have a belief. Because they're afraid, basically. Because they're afraid that if they don't do that, something bad will happen. If they had the same impulse towards actual practice and spent 6 to 8 hours a day practicing so they were really open, they could make money doing just about anything. People who are open, people like throw money at them just to sit with them. You know, I didn't used to charge anything for what I do when I started. And then I didn't have any money at the time. I was a scientist and I quit that and I started doing this full time, just offering. And I was living on the beach in a tent, and first people started bringing me bananas and apples and things in exchange for what I did. And then someone like gave me $10 once, and so then I just started saying, okay, $10. And then someone gave me, I remember someone saying, $10, are you kidding? You know, here's $100. So I just said, okay, $100 from now on. I said $100, someone gave me $200, $200 from now on. And it just kept going up and up and up. And then I finally realized there's actually no value on openness. I mean, there's no price tag on openness. Just kind of find some industry standard as a random thing. But if you're open, people will pay you basically anything they can afford to open with you. Anything. Whether you're a painter and you paint that openness, whether you're a baker and you bake that openness in your food. I mean, people pay huge amounts for really good food. I mean, really good food. You know, like, there are cooks who are like proficient cooks, but there are cooks who cook enlightened food, so to speak. People will pay many hundreds of dollars for a meal of just, you know, the food where you eat, and it's like, oh, it's a divine experience. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, people, all you need to do is open, and from that place of your openness, do whatever you do. Whatever you find yourself doing, do it. It might not be pleasant to you, but other people will worship you for it. Will worship the act itself, not necessarily you. They'll worship your food. They'll worship what you do, whatever it is. Your art, the way you sing, the way you parent, perhaps. Money is easy from a place of openness. Of course, there are just as many people who are threatened by your openness, so you're just as likely to be sued as make money, and so in the end, it's like a wash in any case. But
the man I'm with is almost never in the third stage.
Well, he couldn't be in the third stage and stay with you.
Right, because I'm not.
Exactly, but you could be from now on. Just practice. Just ceaselessly be fucked open by this moment. If you remember nothing else from this entire workshop, just go home to this guy. Is he here or is he at home or something? Okay, so go home to this guy, whatever, wherever he is, you know, just go back to him, already fucked open. So you walk in the door, you know, and you just walk in and it's just like, hi. And your body is just already like as fucked as fuck can be. You're just, and you kiss him, already fucked open. Not like, I hope he likes me now, you know, I hope he gives me this, I wonder if he's in the third stage now, you know, you know, none of that. Just already full of fuck or God or love or whatever you want to call it. I'm using sexual metaphors because you said that sexuality was a key for you, that it was easy for you. So let it be a key for you. Like someone was asking, to some people alcohol actually serves them. Well, obviously sex helps you, right? So let's use it. Be fucked open by God constantly and offer that as a gift to him. He will either run or he will rise to the occasion. And if he runs, I guarantee you another man will walk into his place very quickly. You will have to keep them away. You will have to learn all kinds of ways to say, no, excuse me, I'm not available, da 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 da. Because if you're walking open already fucked open by God, it's an almost inconceivable thing for most people, because they're in the first and second stage. And to see a woman in that degree of openness and vulnerability, and like I was talking about moving the plate from one part of the table to the other yesterday, seeing you move that way and breathe that way, it has nothing to do with necessarily. I mean, that's a little part of it. But just the way you walk into a room and you fill it with your light, and maybe you walk into his room and you just move a flower from here to here just so the room becomes even brighter. And you, it's a total way of living. Well, when you're living that way, you'll attract a masculine partner who is living the same way by fucking the moment open. Again, I'm continuing with the sexual metaphor. That is, he'll be feeling, what do I need to do to her so she opens even more? Well, she obviously needs to exercise a half an hour a day in a sexual fashion. So I'm going to buy her a dildo and insist that even before I fuck her myself, she does herself for a half an hour from 9 a.m. to 9:30. And she does it in a way that is utter devotion. So he goes out, he buys the dildo, he brings it back, it's got a little ribbon on it, you know. You think it's champagne, you open the wrapper, but... And you go, what's this? You know, and he goes, well, it's a practice that I feel would be great for you. And if it's great for you, you will refuse it. That's the nature of practice. You'd already be doing it if you weren't refusing it. So he'll pull out whatever it is, and you'll go, you're kidding, right? And he'll go, no. And he'll sit down with you and watch you do it, and he'll teach you how, and he'll coach you through it, and you'll be going, and he'll go, no, you're getting lost in your sexuality. Continue looking at me, stay open, feel me. Once you're good at that, I'll go, okay, now feel the divine as you use that dildo, feel everything, feel everyone living and dying. And then when you get to that point, I'll go, okay, now you could practice without me, but just this way for 2 months, and then we'll change the practice. And they'll be telling you, I don't want to practice, it's early, I've got to get to work. And then, you know, he'll go, no, you're going to practice. And that's where the other side of the third stage man comes in, the part that just simply won't tolerate less than actual practice. So now you're saying, I'm having difficulty disciplining myself and I don't have a man who disciplines me. Well, once you have it, you'll complain about the other thing. He's so hard on me, he won't let me out of my practices. And that's just the way the feminine is. It's never, you know. And so, you know, masculine people need to learn never to back off just because the feminine partner is saying, no, this isn't right, you don't feel me, whatever it is, because you're always going to do that. Not always, let's just say a lot of the times you're going to do that. And so you will attract a man who offers you the depth of divine discipline to the extent that you're offering divine devotion, period. Not in some specific sexual circumstance, all day with him on a date or something like we were asked earlier about dates. Well, even on a date, just the way you pass the salt could make his spine shiver and feeling the depth of your openness. Really. I mean, if you pass that salt as if it was art, you were art. You were here to open the world through that grace. The kind of men you would attract would have that degree of impeccability, the same degree that you did of grace, of divine grace. They would have divine impeccability. If you don't have a man like that in your life, it's only because you're not offering that. No man could resist that. If you were offering that, you'd have hundreds of men wanting to be with you. It would be a matter of like sequestering yourself. It wouldn't be a matter of like, why doesn't my man discipline me? It would be like, there are so many millionaire enlightened men who are after me, I don't know what to do. Yeah, then you would have your friends choose the one who is good at you because you'd choose the wrong one.